This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and welcome to First Friday Focus on the Environment. Every month we get together with the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters to explore vital environmental issues within the state of Michigan. Lisa Wozniak, good to be with you for the August edition.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dave. Our guest today is Joel Braemeyer. Joel is the President and CEO of the Alliance for the Great Lakes, an organization that works across this entire Great Lakes region protect our abundant freshwater resources.
Good morning. Thank you.
The Great Lakes are experiencing a lot of things these days. One of them, high water levels. And cities like South Haven, Grand Haven, Saugatuck, they're grappling with flooding and high water levels near the lakeshore. And homeowners are literally bouldering the shorelines in front of their properties to try and prevent further erosion. What are the near-term impacts of these higher levels?
It's really remarkable, especially as people have emerged from their homes and businesses after some of the quarantine in the COVID era. One of the first things they saw when they went to the Great Lakes shoreline is just how much higher the water is. And it's having a real impact on communities across the Great Lakes region. The water's at or near record highs, and we're seeing increased erosion. And places where, you know, thousands of people gather during the summer, in some cases, are underwater. So it's a great concern of Great Lakes communities, especially those that make a good portion of their local economy hum just during a few months of the year in the summer.
And so, Joel, what are the longer-term ramifications of these higher water levels should it sustain?
What we're seeing over the last few years is a big jump in water levels that happened very quickly. And so we're expecting more extreme changes to happen faster in the future, and the Great Lakes shoreline simply isn't ready for that kind of extreme volatility. We're going to see amplified erosion like we're seeing right now. We're going to see big changes, perhaps the water dropping back to a very low level. And frankly, we spent a lot of the 20th century manipulating and hardening the shoreline, and it's not terribly resilient anymore. A natural shoreline is a really very healthy shoreline. A lot of the Great Lakes, we've seen this hardening that is causing the shoreline to actually increase erosion, and it's just not sustainable that way. So we've got to get a handle on a better way to plan for the Great Lakes shoreline. And when the water goes back down, take advantage of that time to rebuild in a more natural, healthier way.
Are you concerned about the water temperatures increasing as well? They've been very high this summer.
I know everybody loves to go into a Great Lake and find out that their teeth aren't chattering, and their toes aren't blue, but you know it is a sign that we're seeing some, extremes in the Great Lakes. We already know that climate change globally is having an impact on the Great Lakes locally, and part of that is these more extreme water level changes. Part of it is the increased water temperatures, especially at the peak of the summer. The Great Lakes shouldn't feel like bathwater, right? They're living Great Lakes, and they are naturally cold water systems in most places, with some exceptions. And so those higher water temperatures, while they're comfortable to get into, they are concerning in the long run. If we see a persistent higher temperatures, it changes the habitat for fish. It makes things like toxic algae blooms more likely to happen. These are the same algae blooms that shut down Toledo's drinking water supply 5 years ago. So warm water feels good. But the long-term implications, it's a really pernicious indicator that something is wrong with the Great Lakes.
As you mentioned, this all ties to climate change. How is the Alliance directing its work to ensure we're more adaptive and prepared for the changes that you've outlined?
Adaptation is key. And so, of course, we have to get a handle on climate change globally and reduce the root cause. The fact is, you know, for the next century, the Great Lakes are stuck with the changes that are already happening. So one, as I said earlier, we've got to make our shorelines more resilient. We've got to cut down the amount of pollution going into the Great Lakes, especially, for example, nutrient pollution, the kind that comes from fertilizers running off of farms, which is the biggest culprit of water pollution in the Great Lakes today. And we've got to make sure we keep things like invasive species out. The reason I'm talking about those areas is because climate change makes all of them worse. It makes the lakes more likely to be invaded. It makes the pollution from agriculture have worse effects, higher levels of algae blooms in the water. So we've actually got to double down and do a better job of preventing the bad stuff from getting in, because the impacts of climate change that are already here are actually making those problems worse.
89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment continues. I'm David Fair alongside my co-host Lisa Wozniak, the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And our guest today is Joel Brumeyer, President and CEO of the Alliance for the Great Lakes.
As you mentioned, Joel, a key issue that the Alliance works on is invasive species in the Great Lakes. And with COVID-19, environmental rollbacks, and a whole lot more, my sense is that this issue of invasive species hasn't gotten as much attention as it has in the past. Where do things stand with the issue of Asian carp and collective work on the part of the Great Lakes governors to keep this incredibly dangerous invasive species out of our waters?
Well, like a lot of environmental work, we have seen some delays, partially as a result of COVID, but also partially just as a result of bureaucratic inertia, unfortunately. So the good news is that at the federal level, Congress is actually poised to authorize the construction of a major project in Illinois that would build new state-of-the-art protections against the Asian carp species. These are the jumping carp that actually have been threatening to invade the Great Lakes. Congress is poised to authorize that project if they can get that legislation passed this summer. So that's really good news, and they're certainly making plenty of federal money available for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to do its part in the project. The harder part is getting the states to work together to make sure that this project goes as well. And so Michigan has been a leader on that. Unfortunately, Governor Whitmer had to divert some resources that had been set aside for that project, because of the COVID crisis, but we expect that those resources can be restored, and we're certainly hopeful for that. And we still need to see faster action on the part of the state of Illinois, which has been dragging its feet on signing off on the federal project. So it's a good news, bad news story. We have seen some delays, but we're happy to see the progress with a project in hand that the federal government is ready to deploy. We've just got to get all the pieces lined up.
And while we're talking about things from a kind of regional perspective, toxic PFAS chemicals have been found in waters throughout the country, and Michigan waterways have been dramatically impacted. This state took the step to adopt some of the most stringent drinking water standards in the nation related to PFAS. Is that happening in the other Great Lakes states as well?
Not yet, but, states are making progress on drinking water issues, especially as it matters to them. For example, in the state of Ohio, where just like Michigan, lead pipes are also a big problem. There's been a move to mandate the replacement of lead pipes. That's also moving forward in Illinois. PFAS has some visibility in the other states, as do things like nitrates. The good news I see here is that, for a long time we talked about the Great Lakes and the need to protect them as a source of drinking water, right? So we've stopped them from being diverted, and we've cut down on industrial pollution because they're our source of drinking water. We're starting to see that it's not just enough to protect the source. We've actually got to make sure people can use it safely in their homes and in their businesses, right? And so if we're going to live near this great protected source of fresh drinking water, we better make sure that people can actually use it safely and affordably. And so we're viewing the Great Lakes as part of this, system that everybody depends on. And we're making some progress, at the state level with our elected officials recognizing the importance of being able to deliver that water safely to people.
So Joel, to extend these concerns to the federal level, the Trump administration has rolled back or is in the process of rolling back literally 100-plus environmental protections that were put in place over years and years and years to protect our air and our water. Among these rollbacks, which are the ones that you're watching most closely from a Great Lakes perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad news story across the country, but right here in the Great Lakes region, there are a few serious problems. Of course, one is the rollback of protections for some types of wetlands across the Great Lakes and across the country. This is a problem because, wetlands are the first line of protection against pollution and flooding. And so if you roll back protections that already existed for wetlands, that means you can pollute them, you can fill them in without a permit, and this is a huge problem. That was one of the commitments the Trump administration made before it even entered office, was to roll back this rule, and they did it. So that's just some basic protections against clean water, or for clean water, excuse me. Another one is the removing some of the state's oversight over the implementation of the Clean Water Act. And so typically, states are allowed to step in for a Clean Water Act pollution permit and say, well, yes, this does meet our standards, or no, actually it doesn't. You got to do more. And the Trump administration has been actively trying to roll that back so the states can't actually apply the protections that they believe they need to keep their water clean. It's a much longer list than that. You know, the bottom line here is that this president is the most unfriendly to the environment president and unfriendly to the Great Lakes president that we've seen in decades. And that's coming from a nonpartisan perspective. It's not about politics. This is just about what's good for clean water. And this administration simply doesn't get it.
I think with that, it is a good place to bring our conversation to an end for today. Obviously, we could continue on any one of those subject matters for hours on end. But thank you for sharing your time and your perspective today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
That is Joel Brummeier, President and CEO of the Alliance of the Great Lakes, and Lisa Wozniak. I look forward to having you back in September as well.
It's always a pleasure, David.
Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and co-host for WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. For more information on today's feature and to visit our archive, go to our webpage at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.